Well, I made the trip down to the Art Gallery of Ontario just about a week ago to take in the latest contemporary exhibit, Joyce Wieland, Heart On. Opened a few weeks ago, and you can make a day of it, seeing Moments in Modernism on the fourth floor, which is fantastic, and then the Wieland on the fifth floor. AGO.ca for info and tickets. This is the most ambitious Wieland retrospective ever mounted, celebrating five decades of drawing, textiles, plastic hangings, paintings, film, and sculpture. It truly is a multidisciplinary and multimedia explosion of ideas. Wieland was from Toronto. She passed away in 1998. And as you take in the 120 works at the AGO, you will see her transition from biting and humorous artistry in the 60s and 70s to her works of Canadian patriotism, ecology, and feminist values. It is colorful, thought-provoking, surprising, and moving at times. Co-curator Georgiana Oliarek is with us, and she is the Frederick S. Eaton Curator of Canadian Art with the AGO. She's also collaborated with the Tate Modern in the UK, the Jewish Museum New York. In 2023, she won the Toronto Book Award for her work Moving the Museum. Georgiana, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
Great to be with you. You've got the shirt. I didn't stop by. I didn't exit through gift shop, clearly. A lot of people will know who Joyce Wieland is, but for newcomers, tell us a little about her story in Toronto and abroad in places like New York City and maybe how that seemed to make her more patriotic about Canada.
Well, she's such a fascinating figure. She really is. It sort of embodies the 20th century. She's born in Toronto in 1930, actually just in the West End. As I rode my bicycle down I rode by her house. She went to Central Tech. This was her education. This is where she met Doris McCarthy. So she has this connection to modern artists in Toronto, in Canada, a love of landscape painting, a love of this place. And then she starts to make films because this is sort of the first job that she gets. And it really is this filmmaking and art making practice that takes her to New York City in 1962. And that's when her story really kind of explodes, because what she is exposed to there is basically everything is possible. Everything is also very complicated, difficult, and sometimes very, very painful. So she gets involved in the civil rights movement. She marches on Washington in August of 1963. And she starts to really think a lot about what it means to be from Canada. And that's why I think she is more relevant than ever today, because what she was experiencing then, sort of the issues that she started to grapple with, are really our issues, you know?
We hear that from singer-songwriters of the era, too. We think of the Joni Mitchells and Neil Youngs. They go stateside and suddenly Canada starts to look really good, right? It's kind of one of those stories.
It is, and it happens to lots of artists, you know? When you leave home, home becomes this place that's very important to you, that sometimes can feel a little bit under attack, and so you want to protect it. And so what she was able to do is really create a way with so much generosity. And you mentioned, you know, humor and compassion, and that it's moving. Her work is all embracing like that. It's all about care, wanting to show us a way that we can deal with these really complicated issues. Because there isn't just one answer. So you have to find your own way in. And she offers that invitation that you too have power, you too have agency to really make a difference. And I think that's what she was trying to do.
When you're planning an exhibition of this size, it is very ambitious and it takes up a lot of space, and it's really incredible to take it all in, all the different formats she uses and so on. But it does take a while to plan ahead for something like this. But here we find ourselves in this moment where Canada is being very reflective right now, and a united country in many ways as we look to our southern border. And so that's kind of an interesting moment for this exhibition to be happening.
Yes, absolutely. And it always felt this way, even though we started working on it 4 years ago. It is actually for this reason that I reached out to my co-curator, Anne Grace, who works in Montreal at the Montreal Museum of Fine Arts, because this was something that was very important to Wieland herself. Francophone culture, Quebecois culture, this was something that she was very much aware of through her own family. I thought it was so important for Wieland to have her very first large exhibition in Montreal, and that happened earlier this year. So we were always thinking about the way in which she thought about Canada and how she contributed to it, and how the two of us working together in this collaboration, trying to get loans.
Yeah, sure.
Trying to really bring together so much of the scholarship that had happened before. And very importantly, our conservation colleagues. So one of the wonderful things about Canada, actually, is that it has the Canadian Conservation Institute. And so we partner with them so that people can come to the AGO, and this is one of the extraordinary things that they can discover when they come, is a room full of her plastics. In 1966, she made about 15 of them. We have almost all of them on view, and they are hanging on the wall just like they hung in 1967 at the Isaacs Gallery in Toronto. This was her vision. So that is an extraordinary thing, to be able to see the work the way she wanted us to see it and experience it.
It was interesting to read some of the stories, and I do love the tale that gets told as you walk through this exhibition. But, you know, she did want to work big at a certain point in her career. And, you know, like, it's a classic artist story. You needed friends in that situation. You needed space. Mm-hmm. You needed resources. Mm-hmm. And you really do hear that artist story as you go through this exhibit.
She really embodies the spirit of enterprising, you know, being like an enterprising artist. And it took me quite a while to realize that she didn't actually have a studio.
Right.
Until the 80s.
I mean, it feels a little Emily Carr in certain ways, right?
You know, she's Emily Carr nomadic at least had that, you know, trailer.
Yeah, right, sure.
Wieland talks about making all of her work at her kitchen table, and that includes her films, her assemblages, her paintings, her drawings. She drew every single day. And so when she wanted to work big, she invited her sister, when she was still in New York, to make quilts. But she does think of them as paintings.
Yeah, they're also sort of 3D quilts, almost. That's how they feel.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, she has this article where she says, you know, you wash it with cold water and you hang to dry. I mean, for her, this is how you take care of a quilt. And we hung them in such a way, really honoring the fact that she loved the material and she loved the history of it. For her, when she got a big exhibition in 1971, she was the first living woman artist to have an exhibition at the National Gallery of Canada. It wasn't just about her. She invited these craftswomen, primarily from the Maritimes, to show off their skills. Knitters, embroiderers, women who won prizes at fairs for hooking rugs. These were her collaborators. And when you walk through the exhibition, everyone's name is on the label because this was important to her. She always named them, and so we also named them.
If you're just joining us, Georgiana Oliark is with us. She's the Frederick S. Eaton Curator of Canadian Art with the AGO, many great exhibits over the years. She is co-creator of Joyce Wieland Heart On, which is on now at the AGO, AGO.ca for info and tickets. All right, so we do start to walk around the fifth floor. I've sort of alluded to this and some of the things we'll see in the AGO. I mean, what's the initial takeaway? It's hard when you've been so close to this for so many years, but people walk in. I know what my feeling was, but what do you think that first impulse is for people who walk onto that floor?
Well, I have to say that so many people have come up to me so filled with emotion and hope. It's actually kind of taken me back. I have done many exhibitions, and this is the first one where people come to me so revitalized, re-energized. The exhibition gives you a sense of one very complete vision. And one of the things about Wieland is that she worked in whatever material made sense at the time. So she started with drawing, as I said, she always drew, but she painted, she made assemblages, she made constructions, she made quilts, she made films, she made all of these things. And so often people know one part of her practice, but to see it all together, it makes so much sense. And that's another comment that people have made, is that, you know, I knew this part of her work, but now it all makes sense.
I thought a compelling part of the story was towards the end of her life, she felt this real pull to create, where we really get to see kind of the end of that story in some ways. And I found that to be fascinating.
Yes, and I think that part is also very moving for people, because not a lot of people get to make what is called late work, you mm-hmm. know, and that is when she is looking at her own experience as being an artist and also being a woman. She has a painting called Artist on Fire, and this is about being full of force. All of the elements that are there at the end are really all there at the beginning as well. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we wanted to do is also show her films beside her work at the same time, because she's well known as a filmmaker internationally, but she's not known as an artist. So you really get to see the way she put together a film is the way that she put together a painting. So you see the colors at the beginning in the film, and then you see the colors at the end in the paintings. And we're very fortunate because we...
I was about to say, you're collaborating with Tiff on this.
And also with Ad Hoc at Innes College. And so you actually have to go to ago.ca and find out all of the details, because we are going to have a complete retrospective of her films in the fall. So every single film that she made, including The Far Shore, that's her one feature-length film. And I can't wait to see it again. I do watch it every now and again. And also to have the Barren Ground Caribou quilt that's usually at TTC Spadina Station. I know that lots of people who live around there really miss it, but they're very glad to come to the AGO and see it. It was her dream to have this, because you talked about monumental work, large work. It's 9 meters long, and we were able to bring it into the institution at the AGO in order to be able to show it in context. And I think that expanse of the Arctic landscape was really a culmination of her vision of what does it mean to be embedded in the landscape and in this place. And she does the same in The Far Shore. So it's going to be quite extraordinary to see the film again.
Keep an eye on it, ago.ca, and congratulations on
Thank
this
you so much.
Exhibition. It is quite something. Georgiana Oliarik, the Frederick S. Eaton Curator of Canadian Art with the AGO, co-creator of Joyce Wieland, Heart On, which is on right now and into early January. ago.ca for info and tickets. It is Mark Wigmore here on the New Classical FM, our look at arts and culture. And Joyce Wieland, a big, big fan of Mozart. And that's expressed through one of her paintings towards the end of this exhibition. Let's listen to Mozart right now.